Artlist.io. Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never know I'm best, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back. Let's go. It's your boy C-Rock. We're back in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Welcome back, or welcome for the first time. Whatever that is, either way for you. I'm thankful to have you here. And, you know, I hope we can help elevate your life some way today. And, you know, we bring a lot of variety of guests in all different genres of life. But at the end of the day, we're really finding out the ingredients that have gone into making them who they are. What are they made of? And that's what we're going to continue to do today. And, you know, we have Jesslyn and Brian. They're here. Person. Is that how you pronounce your name? Person? Did you Pearson, spell that right yeah. when you put that in there?
No,
is there no
right,
I
yeah.
in it?
No, okay. No, it's a old school Swedish spelling. Yeah,
Pearson. Okay, sorry yeah. about that.
No worries,
Jesslyn Pearson. I never said their last name before, guys. I'm friends with these guys. We've been in mentorship groups together, coaching groups together, and but Brian and Jesslyn are here. They've transformed their relationship that was stuck, full of anxiety, and on the edge of divorce to one that is loving, fulfilling, and lasting. Working with couples, they share with their no BS practical tips, systems, and principles they use in their relationship to break the repetitive, unproductive, and stagnant cycles. They also know that transforming your relationship will positively impact your family, business, and wealth and help you create a life by design. Welcome to the show, Brian and Jesslyn.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And also, I must note, they're in Canada, so it's probably really cold where they are right now. And I was talking to another Canadian recently, and I said, you know, gosh, man, like, why do you live there? Like, isn't it cold all the time? And they're like, oh, we have a summer. It's warm and all that. And then I remembered being in Miami, and it was January, and it was 50 degrees, 49, 50 degrees, windy. And there's a bunch of white people, like I'm not talking about white people, I'm talking about like my hat white people out there, and they're on the beach and they're in the water and splashing around boogie boarding. And I'm like, what is that? They're, my friend goes, they're from Canada.
So, yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure you guys have your American jokes, you know, people from America. So, but I just felt like that. Plus your chops to start.
Yeah, it goes both ways. Yeah. Yeah, we got our American jokes as well. Yeah.
All right. Well, when you think of one, tell me it because I'd like to know it. So anyway,
mostly based on your crazy political system down there.
Oh yeah, yeah, I agree with that. That's not really us, you know. That's not really me. It's just him. Yeah. But anyway, I want to start the show the right way, guys. And however you want to answer this question, when I have multiple people on the show at once, it's up to them. What mm-hmm. are you made of?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Yeah. Having gone through what we've gone through as a couple, excuse me, lose my voice here. We're now just really enjoy helping other couples really define and build that lasting relationship where it's not conflict and there's ease in communication and both individuals get what they want. It's not about compromise. It's about just accepting each other for everything that they are and everything that they're not, which is the harder part for most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're aiming to be a stand for people who, or to prevent people from having to go through what we went through with the business, with the relationship and the kids and everything else and all the strains that a relationship can go through. So we want to be a stand for people to just avoid all that and start off with a powerful relationship instead of having to like break it down and then build it back up.
Yeah, I mean, this is like so common. And when you're going through it, you feel like you're the only one. You know, I just passed 20 years in May, going on 21 coming up. And I look back at all the things that we went through and the mistakes I made and the perceptions that I was wrong about or expectations. And man, there's so much to talk about here. I guess, you know, I'm a big fan of storytelling. So can you guys kind of give us like the story? Like what's the story from start to whatever, however you want to take it, but what's the story behind it? Like where did you guys start? And then.
Yeah, go for it. You're the dates one. So.
Yeah, for sure. So we met actually in 2009. So we were a little older, pushing our late 20s, early 30s. And at that point I knew exactly what I wanted in a relationship or so I thought. And I laid it out right up front. Not gonna lie, third date, I was like, here's what I want. If you're not interested, move on. I was getting older and I knew I wanted a family and I only had so much time before that was gonna happen. And you know, through there, we started really early investing in real estate together. It was literally 2009 before we were even engaged. We bought a property together.
And we, and we got married pretty quick too. Like within a year. Yeah.
Well, we dated for a year and then 6 months later we got married.
Yeah.
And then through that, we built our portfolios, our careers. 2013, we had our first son. And it was probably, I mean, we had issues throughout that, but when you start to bring kids into the dynamic, there's a lot more pressure and stress and other things to think about other than yourself now. And so in 2014, we almost divorced. We really had to have a moment to say, is this really for us? And so we decided to give it another go. And then in 2015, we had our second son. And then again in 2017, we almost divorced. And that's where we're like, okay, we need to work on this and make this a priority. And that involved a mix of personal development on our own, but also together to figure out like, what is it that's just not connecting and why is there conflict and who's not happy where and how can we make that work?
Yeah. And I mean, if it wasn't for that personal development, which came down like this, where she actually went to the particular course we took first and took her 2 years to convince me to go to that course. And it ended up, and the convincing was go to this course or we're getting a divorce. That was 2017. But once we both came onto the same page under that kind of similar language inside of that personal development, that's where things really started to accelerate. So you can't really, in a relationship, you're literally one thing. So if only half of the thing has the particular set of knowledge or particular language to speak in a particular way to get their thoughts out, it makes it really, really difficult. So for 2 years, I kind of tortured her because she was now thinking one way and I was not thinking that same way. And finally we got on that same page. And then just after that, it was like a rocket ship, right? Things just started to really take off.
Yeah. Now when you have, so by the way, this is, we're talking this and going this deep into the relationship folks because they do this now. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear. I don't think this is just anybody, but so when she was working on the personal development, then like that definitely had to have some kind of good impact though in a relationship, even though both of you should be speaking the same language and have similar belief systems, but there's gotta be some, and I agree with what you're saying, but like, I also think about if she's making herself better, that's gotta add to the relationship in some form or fashion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. I'd say for sure, because I mean, there's a lot of lessons I learned, but one of course was forgiveness. Also, just giving the other person space and understanding. And I became a little bit more communicative.
Yeah.
So I didn't communicate well. I just assumed he should know what to do. But I started to kind of open up that way. And I think that's partly what gave us the 2 year stretch. Otherwise, if I hadn't had that training, it would have been cut short a lot sooner.
No.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, from my perspective, it gave her, looking back at it, it gave her the patience she needed to wait for me to kind of catch up and join her. So yeah, I think if she hadn't had that and we tried another path, it wouldn't have worked out. You gotta look for ways to help each other grow inside of the relationship or you might just not go anywhere.
Yeah. And then so the first time when you had your first child, what was the thing that was happening? Like arguments, little bickering, like what was the conflict?
Oh,
yes. Yeah. Yes. There was, I mean, we both have careers as well. So we're busy and with a little guy. And I mean, there's a different way people accept children and I'm just going to call it out. But he got to a point where he was blaming in a way. So he had anger. He was harboring anger. And it was towards me and the boys. And I got to a point where it's like, okay, fine me. But our boys, we brought them here. It wasn't their choice. And they're little, right? And just because when you have kids, you lose a lot of your freedom, your independence, your time. And he was bitter about that.
Yeah.
And that anger was coming out towards us. And finally, I was like, okay, I will take a stand for my kids not having to deal with that. And that's where I went, you go figure this out or there's the door, right? Because I was like, it's one thing for me as an adult to have to accept that. It's not okay for my kids who this is their father who, and they wouldn't even understand what he's saying or doing. It just wasn't healthy.
Yeah. Effectively, I had found myself trapped with absolutely no tools to view myself in my position or even get out of it. And that effectively that turned into anger because I didn't know where to go, how to go, what to do, anything along those lines.
Yeah. You know, I've found myself, you know, trying to figure these things out too. Like, I grew up in a broken home and I don't remember my parents together. I had step parents and conflict and all this different stuff. And somehow I figured my way through it. But then I look back and I would come home angry sometimes. And it felt like it was about work. And I'm going to tell you this because I want to see if you're late, but it was about work. But it was like, I got to make all this money because of this. It wasn't necessarily about freedom as much. It was more about, I got to go make money because of what you guys are doing here back home. And I'd come home and there'd be packages from UPS and stuff at the door every day, like FedEx, UPS. And by the way, this I'm fixed now, but like I would come home and then I, my son, like he'd say, I love my kids to death. I mean, we have great relationships now, but like, I would be like, it could be subconscious. And I'm like, I'm grinding here and this and that. And then you expect me to do this when I come home. And you know, it was just some work. I don't know. But I was very hard on my son because I wanted him to be great. And I knew the route, but I didn't give him as much leeway as a kid should have necessarily. So it was like pressure to create a diamond kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so like that anger, did some of that have to do with that too?
At that time, no, I don't think so. I think both of us were still trying to be good parents in our own way. It's just there was a lot of connection issues. So there was connection issues between us, which like would result in connection issues with the kids. And then individually, you know, because I was stressed about work or stressed about our relationship or feeling trapped this way or that way, it was very hard to like actually be there and be a really good father for me anyway. So I think that's largely what it came down to, was just like there was just a whole lot of wires getting crossed and connections just not happening.
Lack of tools.
Yeah. Which just created.
And then so also a lot of people
go ahead.
Hey, do me a favor, guys. I'm going to, we'll edit this part out, but like go out and come back in because the service sometimes does this on Riverside. So if like kind of like Zoom, like if you go out and come back in and see if the service comes back, because it's a little delayed on my end, I'll be looking for you to come back. Yeah, just exit out and then come back in through the link. Yep. So guys, while we're waiting, I think it's Canada, like their service is slow in Canada. I'll just make another Canadian joke while we're waiting. oh, man. Jesslyn and Brian were like... In this coaching group with me, and we met in Miami too, and we went through a lot of these drills at this event that we went to, and I got to stare Brian in the eyes for this confrontation. I was making Canada jokes, by the way, while you were gone, but then I was also talking about like how I got to stare into Brian's eyes with the confrontation exercise that we did, the confront exercise. But anyway, I was just vamping while you were gone. Anyway, so. My question, a lot of people are, you know, you'll see this on social media. You'll hear about it a lot. A lot of people don't talk about it themselves, though, like in real world around you. But did you guys ever feel like you started to become more like roommates, too? And not romantic couple?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think people fall into that part? Like what?
I think, I still remember some of the times we're both busy. We take off to our day jobs, whatever it was. And it was kind of like, we're in our own worlds. And then when we come together, we didn't communicate. Honestly, I struggled to communicate. I really did. I'm much better now. And then I think Bri at times just gave up in terms of like, I'm not communicating. So if he didn't know anything was wrong, he wouldn't communicate back. And just kind of, you get into that repeating pattern of just, okay, hey, here's dinner. See you later. See you tonight. And then you talk about whatever happened in your day, which isn't exciting usually, and you never get down to the meat and potatoes of what's really going on underneath the surface for either of us.
Yeah. And
why
she
do you think that is though?
She made the motion. Like that's what happens, is that you start to get into this spiral where things start to add on to each other. So maybe it was a little thing at the beginning and you know, that irritated you or made you think this way about your spouse. And then it comes around again and it just adds a little bit more weight, and it adds a little bit more weight, and it adds a little bit more weight. And eventually that weight it's just too much and you don't even want to deal with it. Like you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, I can try to like heft this weight, or I can just do the easy thing and not even try.
Ignore it.
Yeah. And that's why I think a lot of relationships, and ours was there, where it was easier to not try than to try and just haul ass every day and continually lift that weight. Right. And then, it's kind of like being in a gym. You don't have a personal trainer. You don't know how to use the equipment. You don't know how to get stronger. So you look at those weights and you're just like, this isn't happening. I'm not touching those. Right. I think that's effectively what happened. So like the things start off small, but then they build and they build and they build. And eventually it's just something you don't want to even pick up.
And why do you think, Justin, why do you think that the communication was, you didn't want to communicate? What's the reason do you think people do that? Like,
I think there can be a couple of reasons. One, I have the expectation that he should just know.
Yes.
He should just know what I'm thinking. He should just know what to do. He should just know, right? That was one. Another one is I didn't want to cause fights. I didn't want to have the fights. I didn't want to deal with the fights. I didn't want to deal with him being mad. It's just easier to be quiet and just hope it goes away than to bring it up and deal with him being mad or whatever that might look like. And I didn't have the tools. It's blame game too, right? Like you did this or what, you didn't do that. And now I have the tools to realize I'm a part of that equation. Yeah. And, maybe he did something I didn't like, but that doesn't mean he did it wrong. It just means I didn't like the way he did it. And he didn't know I didn't like that if I don't tell him. So there's just no way.
Yeah. And then so eventually, some couples go they don't intentionally do this. And I'm not saying anything about you guys. Just let me be clear in general. Somebody will show the other person attention and it's outside of that relationship. Right. And again, I don't want to go here for you guys specifically, because I don't know any of the details or anything. And I'm not saying that's the case, but outside of this, I've seen this before where you have your home and you're doing all this stuff, the conflict that you're having. And then the husband will be out, or the wife, it does either way. And then they'll start communicating with other people that aren't in that conflict. And then they open up emotional lines. And then it's like, and I'm not even talking about the romance or the sex part, but just the communication part, it's there. And then there's a bond formed.
Yeah.
Yes. And, my parents, my mom was married 3 times. I've seen it. My dad, so I've seen these things, and I look back as a kid and watch this stuff, and I was like, yeah, they didn't really communicate much. And when they did, it was always fighting. And then X happened and this and that. And it's like, oh, I understand how this works now. And so it's so important that you get this right, because if you don't, there is evil. I call it evil, because I think at the end of the day, it's a spiritual battle. I personally think that, but that there's evil that will try to come in to destroy your home and your family. And this is why this is such an important topic. It's not just about being happy and fulfilling and all that. It's because there's actually destruction waiting right on the other side. Yeah. You guys agree with that?
Yes. Yeah. We look at it like neglect, right? So you need maintenance. You have to maintain your relationship, just like you have to maintain your business or maintain your house, right? You don't maintain your business or you don't maintain your house, they're going to fall apart and they're going to fail. So why should it be any different for your relationship? If you don't put in that maintenance and you're just neglecting your relationship, well, everything else is going to seem a whole lot easier than your relationship, because now that relationship has taken on a huge burden. So it's all about maintenance. And that's what we try to help people with. We don't try and help them, get better and better or anything like that. But
you're not there yet. That's one of your, that's another offering that you'll put out later on.
Yeah. maybe one day, but the way we try and help people is to just make them understand that there is a maintenance cost to a relationship. And like, here is a structure you can use to go forward and like make it really easy, like no brainer maintenance for your relationship. And if you can go down that path, it doesn't matter what you want. Like you can want a healthy relationship with your kids or better bedroom life, whatever you're looking for.
Well, but Brian, the bedroom life does come along with what you're talking about, because the bedroom life is better when there's connection.
Yeah.
And there's, an emotional connection there, and that's important. And so you are helping people with that, by the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's just that we don't focus on it and like push it, but But just like you said,
should add it as a benefit when you're talking to people. Like this will, this is the answer to some of those things. Like,
yeah,
you know. So, all right, I gotta go next with when you guys started doing the personal development. What are some of the like things that really stick out that were like aha things, like cognitions that you had going through those?
So mine were, I really held on to things. I didn't forgive easily. And when I learned to let go, I just felt that whole weight lift. And I don't mean just here. I mean, I had it with other relationships, whether it be my sister or my dad or someone, right? Just things I held on to, and that grudge, I didn't realize how much it was hurting me, just holding on to that. And so when I released that, there's open up space for me to be more just available for others. Also, I think another one for me is like communicating, like really drop the expectations and have the real ask of what I want.
Yeah, for me it was just really unfiltering all the bullshit in my life, like all those little white lies that you tell yourself. We were talking earlier that, you know, how people talk about their business in a way more inflated sense than they actually have a business of. And I think most people operate on these little white lies that they've told themselves, and then that those stream out into the world, and all of a sudden your world is reflecting back on you all this stuff that you're trying to deal with because it's not really you, right? And so I think that was the number one thing that helped me, is just really getting the tools to like say, hey, you know what? This is a bunch of BS, and the only place it's living is right up here or right here, right? And just getting rid of it.
Yeah. So you guys knew this kind of stuff or heard it before, but what made it hit and connect and at this kind of event thing or whatever it was that you guys went to, like what made it hit to stick, you know? Cause what I'm saying is like, we all know that you're supposed to say you're sorry and people are supposed to accept and forgive and all that. We all know that. We've heard that many 15 million times probably. Right. We also heard don't lie, and don't lie, especially to yourself. But like, what made it stick for you guys? So I think that's the important part.
I think for me, it was just the inability to get out of it. So people, when they, you know, they hear about a way to do business or a way to like run their relationship, they kind of were like, oh yeah, that's a good idea, but like, I don't know if it's for me, right? And for me, the thing that made it stick was that I was in a room for 3 days with no ability to, I wasn't like locked in there or anything, but like the way that the course was designed is like, you're there, you're working, you're putting out your effort. And, just getting through those 3 days and having that kind of locked feeling inside of that room where I had to face everything inside of that room. And then what really made it sick was coming home and having a partner who was communicating on the same lines, right? So there was lots of trouble after that relationship too, or after that personal development. In fact, our relationship, I would say, even went through more drastic swings, but we were able to understand now why they were going through those swings and able to pull them back up out of the kind of the dirt. Whether she pulled it back up or I pulled it back up, one of us, it was in some position to kind of keep that relationship going until it was on really steady ground.
So some of it like were aha moments that they stuck just because you had the door open. You went, oh my God, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You face your reality. But I say other ones that worked for me is actually just practice. Even though I knew I wasn't a good communicator, I didn't just flip the switch and be a good communicator. It took a couple years, and Brian also prompting me to be like, just say what it is on your mind. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't make yourself have to look good. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. And so it took time and practice, and support, of course, always helps.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I say I tortured her for 2 years because she's put
her feet to the fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if she's there trying to practice and I'm just not willing to practice. And we see that in a lot of couples, is that one partner is all on board with something. Doesn't really matter what it is. And the other partner is just not. Yeah. And so we try to bring ourselves together, and we try to help others come together so that they're at least on some level at the same page.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what I heard you basically, I was just listening to that and I heard something about, you know, people need to hit rock bottom in a way, or just be like done not knowing how to fix it. And so that creates an urgency where that things will start to stick. And then, you know, you get aha moments and all that because you're like kind of desperate for an answer, right? Well, how can we, when you're working with people, right? Like, how can we get people to get that urgency before they get to the bottom or have somebody say, hey, I'm done?
Yeah, that's a really good question. We haven't really, like, we've been through that, but we haven't really like structured that in into some of what we teach. We're looking for more people who are not on the edge of divorce, like us.
Right,
we want to be like ahead of the curve and like try and prevent them from even having to go down to that rock bottom. But I
that's what I'm saying, Brian. But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, you guys want to work with people before they get there, so we need to be able to figure out a way. I say we. I'm helping you guys. Right?
Hey,
like, you know, like I think that if you, I think sharing your story to more people and then creating content out there where you guys are sharing stories so people can live through what you guys are doing, and then they're not there yet, right? They don't want to be there, but they're living through this these scenes of yours, and then some of the signs that you guys saw, you share that. And then if they see those signs when they're still here, they start seeing the signs. They're like, whoa, shoot, that's a like indication, red flag. And that creates the urgency, right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and totally. I think we're putting content out there now, and we have our own podcast with content. But where I really start seeing the light is when I speak or I'm at networking events, women will say something to me and I'll right away let them know, because I'm not afraid to say what I think anymore, that it's not okay. So for example, like if they, you know, I got one lady who came to me and said, yeah, my husband's an absolute messy guy, but I just clean up after him. That's just the way he is. I'm like, no, that's not okay. You don't have to accept that. There are ways to fix that. And same with like chores, or I speak more towards women because that's who I work more with, but like who don't have support in the home, or who feels they have to do the cooking all the time. I'm like, no, you don't. I said, that's the agreement you and your husband have. And I quote the agreement because you might not even know you just fell into that. You chose that by default. And here you are 20 years later in your marriage. You're upset about it, but does he know you're upset about it? Does he know you don't want to cook all the time? Does he know? So I just start to now just bring to light that, okay, you may feel this way, but what have you done to work on it?
Yeah.
Instead of blaming the husband. Right.
Yeah. Relationships run on broken agreements for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's amazing how far a relationship can go on like three tires, you know?
Yeah. You know, I got a funny thing to tell you guys. So, something happened in our house and I just lost it. I have so many ideas when I'm listening to you guys it'll come back to me because there was something that happened regarding dishes, laundry, something happened. Oh, here it is. So my wife is like, yeah, any ideas for dinners this week? And I'm like, yeah, chicken, a vegetable, and a starch. And then meatloaf and a vegetable and a starch. And then, you know, turkey burger. And I'm just like, yeah, just like that kind of stuff. and she's like, I know, but the kids don't eat all the stuff you eat. And then that's just kind of blah and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I gotcha. So I go on ChatGPT. And I said, give me recipes for 30 days, healthy, include protein, starch, and green vegetables. And then I said, and give me a grocery list to get all that stuff. Boom. It took me literally 30 seconds. I texted her back and I said, okay, here's my ideas. And then that night I had salmon on my plate, like teriyaki salmon with quinoa and this and that. And I haven't had that in I don't know how long. Like I haven't cooked it and she hasn't cooked it. So, but she was communicating with me like, hey, do you have any ideas? Cause I don't feel like dealing with this, you know, right now.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, problem. Okay. What can I do to fix it? I could have just sat there and did it myself, like write it out, but you know, it's like a calculator now. Why not use a calculator if you have it?
Yeah.
that's a great example. I think what a lot of times guys do is they just default to, well, whatever you want. Right now the woman is left again, having to think about it, plan it. And there's times where we're just done with our day and we don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was a great example.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, but guys are done with their day sometimes too, though, right?
Yep.
So your chat GPT is actually a really good example of something we actually coach and really push inside of relationships is that your relationship is not an island. Like all the solutions don't exist between us two here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have a habit, and or it's a habit now, but we had a rule in the past of making sure that the other person, if I can't help her, then I'm going to go find somebody else to help her. Right. So like you're for you and your wife in cooking there, it was ChatGPT that, that came along and saved you
30 seconds, but, man. I was quick.
Yeah.
But she signed me up to personal development courses. I've recommended stuff for her to you know, avenues to go down and attack that don't involve me whatsoever. And that takes a huge effort because you have to take all your ego and you got to put it at the door and realize that, you know, you can't be everything that you need to be for your partner. And sometimes there's things outside of that relationship that have to come into play.
Like TikTok videos. Do you guys like send each other TikTok videos?
the odd one, but not really too much now.
we do that. Like we'll send TikTok videos on different things, and I'll get the message through a TikTok video, which is cool. I don't get defensive anymore. I just like, no. You know what? Like I want to be better. I want to be the best husband I can be and the best father. And I need help. Like I don't have all the information. So I love that. All right. So as we wind down here, guys, what's your podcast name, first of all, and where can people find it?
It's Life by Design, and it's on Amazon, Google, Spotify, any of your favorite podcasts.
All of them. Yeah. All of them. Yeah.
And then discoverlifebydesign.ca is the website you want people to go to?
Yes. And all our social media handles are Discover Life by Design, so they can find us there too.
And so people can work with you guys one-on-one or as a couple. How's it work?
We try to do workshops, because like, as we just talked about, all the solutions aren't inside of the relationship, and equally all the solutions aren't with us either. So we come from a background where, the more sharing you can do, the better chance you are of going to be connecting with someone who has the solution that you need. So we do like small group coaching, up to 10 couples, and, that seems to be the kind of the magic sauce for getting the right amount of sharing, but not overwhelming and not getting too sort of uncomfortable sharing to such a big group.
And also depending on the couple, how much support they need, we do, I don't want to say one-on-one coaching, but it is one-on-one coaching, but with the couple. We don't do just one or the other party because we know that it takes two. You can't do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, listen, I'm rooting for you because I love this. I want to see more families stay together and be happier and fulfilled. And so, you know, you got my support. And I guess the last thing is what's next for you guys? Like what's the vision that you guys have?
That's great. So we're actually taking our program and we're going to be putting it online because right now, if you do it in person with us, it's here in our very, very sunny, cold Canada. But but we are putting it online because we do know there are people across the States and in the UK who are interested in what we're doing. And so our goal is to get it online to support more people.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys, go check it out. Discoverlifebydesign.ca. Jesslyn and Brian Pearson in the building, the What Are You Made Of show. It's your boy C-Rock signing off. Until next time, be that one.
Artlist.io. Every single day I feel the pressure.